All right, we're talking about stewardship, and so we'll title it Money and Submission to the Will of God. Now, this is not the whole message, but we'll get there. We'll get to the money part, and I'll let you know. I determined not to tell you that I have 12 points, lest I defeat you before I begin, and Donna will just pick up and leave. So I'm going to say this will be an encouragement to godly submission for each hour of the day. How about that? That sounds a lot more gentle. And let's notice James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, we're to flee temptation, but we are to resist the devil. And that pictured in Christ's dealing with the devil, and when he recognized that it was, in fact, the devil speaking to him. I do not believe that the devil appeared to him in a vision. You know, I think it takes away the whole temptation thing. If this dark angel with bat wings appears before you and tells you to do something, I'm just going to say, no, I don't think I want to do that because I don't trust the way you look. You know, it just, I don't think there'd be much of a temptation. I think that these were temptations in his mind, that the devil was very present, but it was at the end when he was saying, bow down and worship me, Jesus said, go away, devil. And once you recognize it's the devil speaking to you, he has to leave because it's no longer a trick anymore. What is submission to the will of God? Well, submission to the will of God is a part of your Christian self-denial. This is talking about who do you obey. As a Christian, we have, you know, a human agenda. We have work to do. We have places to go. We have things that we have to do and so on. But the question always comes back, why are you doing it? You know, we need to eat. You have to eat or you die. I don't have to eat as much or as many times, but that's part of a legitimate appetite. The question is why? And it's been a blessing to me to realize that I can actually thank God not only for the food because it tastes good to me, but to thank him for food that will give me strength to serve God and others. Now I have a reason to be thankful and a reason to be eating. And so going beyond what I should, I take as the will of God that I have diabetes. And that means that sticking to not eating a lot of sweets is not just the doctor's orders, but God's. And submission to that then takes away a lot of that worry about whether I should do it or not just because I like it. Let me take you to Christ's comment about disciples rather than just believers. People were following him because they believed in him, but he was urging them to be his disciple. Now, disciple is one. The word disciple comes from discipline, and this is when you choose to enter into the discipline of life that Christ is asking. And he says in Luke 14:26, and notice the extremity of this, if any man come to me as a believer and hate not his father and mother. Now, it's Matthew's version of this where we understand that the word hate simply means love less. We are to love him more and love everything else less. And that's true of the beginning because at the time that you made a choice to become a Christian, if there was a table over here filled with all of the world's goods and all of the world's money and all the world's power and so on, you remember that at that time you despaired of everything of the world and you chose Christ. But if there was anything that you loved more than Christ, the devil would make sure to dangle that in front of you and lead you astray. And so to be a true disciple, you have to love him more than your father and mother. Now, he commanded that we love father and mother, but we have to love him more. And he adds, and wife and children. Do you love him more? Old Judge Garschweiler, whose wife knitted these things that we display in the back, the wonderful displays of knitting skill and invention. Older couple, and she was sick. He ended up dying first, but she was sick. And he came to me and he said, I've been thinking that if God took my wife, Adele, whether I would come back to church or not. And he said, I decided that God has been good to me. God has led me to him. And I'm going to serve him whether he takes her or not. And I realized at that point he had become a true disciple because he loved the Lord more than his wife. He goes on, and brethren and sisters, it's wonderful to see a family that actually gets along. You can scan the TV sitcoms in vain for families that get along, I think. The humor is that nobody likes each other. Yea, and his own life also. When the stand comes to betray Christ or give your life for the disciple, the choice has already been made. If that happens, he cannot be my disciple. You can be a believer, but you're not actually entering into the discipline of learning Christ. So, it is your complete agreement to the will of God in all things, but especially in difficult times. Because that's when we tend to pull up and say, wait a minute, I have to think of myself now. I have to think of putting myself first here. Can't do this pie in the sky, the ethereal thinking thing. No, this is especially the time when we bow our heads. We were at Jebediah Porter's house celebrating that he's been out of the hospital now for a year, sitting on his couch, sleeping on his couch, hooked up to oxygen, 8 liters of oxygen that he needs to stay alive. And to see the joy of life, to read his texts of study of the Word of God, and praise to God, and study of the apostates that are crowding in, and to ask him, how are you doing? And he says, it is well with my soul. This is when, especially in difficult times, his wife had to go to work. But all he has is praise for his wife that was willing to do what had to be done for the family to continue. Let me give you this definition to challenge you. Submission is having no competing will of your own. You'll have a will of your own, but not one that competes with the will of God. Remember Christ, who was thinking of what it would be like on the cross in the midst of physical pain and agony to take on himself all the sin of the world, defiling him in a way that he had never experienced in his eternal being. And he asked God to take that cup away, if possible. But he completely submitted when he said, not my will, but thine be done. He wanted no competing will of his own with the will of God. And so, are you there yet? Are you at the point when you find within you that you hear what God says you ought to do, ought to be, ought to think, ought to accomplish? And you're okay with that? That you choose no competing will of your own. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." God is the one who isn't passing through time. God created time. Time is part of the created universe. Without going into a lot of detail, they found that time can change, that precise chronometers, time measurement instruments, put on a jet, one goes east, one goes west, and when they land, the clocks are out of sync. Time passed differently for the one going one direction from the other going the other. They found that the chronometers differ on Earth for those things that are well above the Earth. Time passes differently there. Not significantly where you would notice it, but the chronometers notice it. So time is a function of the created universe. God created that, and he's outside of time. All of time is before him. He's right next to every point in time. He's not passing through time. He's already there. He inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And notice this, I dwell in the high and holy place with who? The high and lofty people? No, he says, with him also that is of a contrite. The basic word in the Hebrew is crushed and humble, low or even humiliated spirit. To revive, he says, I find you there. I revive the spirit of the humble, the low humiliated, and revive the heart of the contrite, the crushed ones. In ourselves, we bow down. We're the humble. We're the contrite. Now, he lifts us up as we submit to his will. We are to be humble and contrite, but not broken in spirit, not broken in heart, because that is despair. We are the opposite of despair. Let me just pick for you the first and the last verses in the New Testament that include will of God. The first verse is in Mark 3:35. Christ says, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." He says, you're my family. We are adopted into his family when we do the will of God. Now, what is this phrase? Do the will of God means to do what God wishes, to do what God desires. Now, we find out what God wants by reading the Word of God, and where he says, do this and don't do that. But we're just bowing to what he wants, to what he desires, you see. The last verse in the New Testament is 1 John 2:17. And the world passeth away. Don't love the things of the world. It'll break your heart because they just go away. Like that new car smell. It finally goes away after a while. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Because God wishes us to be with him, to love him as he loves us. And then he adopts us into his family. So let me give you the 1 o'clock duty of submission to the will. Number one, 1 o'clock, prepare your mind to put God's will to the test. Actually try it out. There was an old commercial, try it, you'll like it. Remember that? Well, this is the will of God. He says, just try it. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. The world's going a place we don't want to go in more than one way. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change the way you think so that you think the way God thinks. That ye may prove, and this is the word meaning to test or examine, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a good thing, it's acceptable, it's perfect. So he says do it, and you say, I don't think I can do that. He says try it. Prepare your mind, renew your mind, that you can put God's will to the test. This is how you submit. See. 2 o'clock, perform the revealed will of God. This is submission. Do this at 2 o'clock. He says, Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience. This is actually endurance. This is where you're holding on underneath the problems. For you have need of patience, endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Done the will of God speaks of the process of Christian growth. This is where you learn to act according to the way God wishes. This is what God calls to be conformed to the image of His Son. This is what becoming holy means. It's not walking around with your nose in the air, going harumph to the people that are doing odd things. It's being like Christ. It's eating with the sinners and calling them to Himself. This leads us to know that the promise we might receive is the final and complete placement as a son of God and a brother of Jesus Christ. We receive, as we grow to look more like the natural Son of God, we adopted children are taken into His home. He says, I have many mansions, literally I have many rooms for you. Come live with me, I have rooms prepared for you. At 3 o'clock, engage yourself fully in serving God. This is part of submission. Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, or after he had in his own age served the will of God. The question here is, what was he serving? Was he serving his own generation? Of course he was, but is that the meaning here? Or was he serving the will of God? I think that it makes more sense to say that he was serving the will of God, like the marginal reading has. He fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Peter is quoting this from the Psalm to say that when the Psalm 16, I believe, says that he did not see corruption, that it wasn't talking about David. It was talking about Christ. But the point that I'm taking from the verse is that David, fully engaged in serving his own generation, the people of his day, but he was doing this in service to the will of God. One commentator says, I don't even understand what serving his own generation could mean, what it would mean in practical terms. I think it means doing what God wants in relation to the people you live with. Then we move on from that to Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service, how do we do our work? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but even do your labor or your job, you know, the work you do here. Do it as servants, literally slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. He says, pretend that your boss is Jesus Christ and that He sees you all the time. And He sees if you are not doing the job that they're paying you to do. He says, serve your human master as a servant of Christ. That's the will of God. Doing the will of God from the heart, not just outward appearance. 4 o'clock comes along. Part of submission is praying for the saints, for the fellow believer. Romans 8:24-27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. This is God searching the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because, or that He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If we were to do what God wanted, then we would love the brethren, the sisters, as God does, as brothers and sisters. We would say, how can I help? Is there something I can do? And if there's nothing I can do physically, if there's no hand of helping I can give, I will be praying for them, making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Colossians 4:12, Paul is talking about his friend that came to visit, Epaphras, who is one of you Colossians, a servant of Christ. He saluteth you. And what was Epaphras doing? He was always laboring. This is a word for working really hard, striving fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete or filled in all, or this word for all means every kind of, the will of God. This is saying that he was praying for the saints that they would be in the will of God. And so this is not only you fulfilling the will of God by interceding for the saints, but you're urging them in prayer to be moved to be in the will of God. Well, it comes to 5 o'clock, and here is our money connection. Be willing to give of yourself. The verse actually says to give yourself. The old story of a little boy, and he said, but as the offering plate was going by, he said, but I don't have any money. I said, well, people give whatever they can. So it came along, and he took the offering plate, and he put it on the floor, and he stood in it. He says, then I will give myself. Well, they couldn't take that. The deacons couldn't count that, so they had him get off the offering plate. But there it is, you see, and this is what he's talking about. Paul talking about giving an offering and talking about what the Macedonians did, 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They were so submissive to the will of God, what God wants, that they gave beyond actually their ability. They were very poor. They were under hardship. But they found money. They scraped it together. They said, we'll give to those who are going to be in great need, in famine there and drought in Jerusalem is going to be. They wanted to give that money to help them out, even though they couldn't give much, but they gave in their poverty. They did this by the will of God. You see how this means that we think about what we have, what God has given us, what God has entrusted to us, that we weigh it carefully. Of course you can spend it on yourself. And maybe it's been a while since you bought yourself something, you see. But when you become sensitive to what God wants, there may be someone that you see needs it and God wants you to give it. Well, here it is, 6 o'clock already. 6 o'clock. Accept the call of God for your life. God does lead. We were reading about the Lawmans and how God has, in a practical sense, changed the direction of their lives. God will do that. And submission means you accept that. You accept the call of God for your life. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, called to be an apostle, this is one who is sent out with a message of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. He says, I was called to be this person, this activity, by the will of God. God wanted this. Now, God expressed that, and that's the way we know that it's the will of God. He didn't just feel it one day. I just have this feeling God wants me to be an apostle. Christ showed up and told him, this is what he wants you to do. Let us weigh this, you see. Let us ask, where can I serve? Where should I serve? Where will you be pleased if I serve? And that's the will of God over our will. That's the money connection. Now, that's the life connection. Number 7 o'clock, participate in separation from this present world. I hear a lot of people preaching, and they're calling it separation. But my question often is, where did you find that in the Bible? You know, there's talking about where you cut your sideburns, whether you wear a beard, what color clothes, and how long and how short, and all that kind of stuff. And I think very often this is a question that you have to answer. But let's understand that we're not to be of the world. Let me give you a verse I didn't put in here, John 15:19. John 15:19, Christ said to those who following him, if you were of the world would love his own. You catch that? If you're part and parcel of the world's going to love you. Let it give you pause to find out that there's this new guy on the scene who's preaching stuff, and boy, people are just flocking and wanting to follow him and all this kind of stuff. Say, why? Why is the world loving this guy? And Jesus said, the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The idea here is that you're a different kind of person than that which the world likes. This is the separation from the world. This is where we're to be. This is what we're to do. We don't do what we do because we want the world to like us. We do what we do because we're submitting to what God wants. And that makes us different. It makes us choose difference in clothing, because we will choose modestly. It changes the way we have our entertainment, because we will choose that which illustrates that we are controlled by the morality of God. But look at Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from what? Well, notice, from this present evil world. This is not our place. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. See? We're strangers. We're foreigners. We're passers-by. We are ambassadors living in this land to tell them of our King. But this is not our home. To deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. What pleases him is not for you to look like and act like and smell like the world. I'm not sure what the world smells like, but I'm just saying that. There'd be a difference. People should tell that there's something different about you. Well, here it is, 8 o'clock already. Let your testimony silence God's critics. We have some very vocal critics, some of them in Congress. People talking about how Christianity is the source of racism. And they obviously don't know what they're talking about. It was Christians who helped to abolish slavery. And it was Christian thinking that Martin Luther King was begging for, to think about how to give the various people of color rights as normal human beings. It was a plea to Christian thinking. 1 Peter 2:15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Foolish men, in their ignorance, will say that Christianity is bad. It will do this, it will do that. And yet, if they look at you and your life and your well-doing, they will say, well, except for that person. There's a lot of what passes for Christian thinking that's just religious business, religions that call themselves Christian. They really don't know anything about knowing Christ personally. 9 o'clock. Stay free of immorality. This is the God that they follow today. This is the world's theme. Can hardly look at these modern girl singers. You'd think they were advertising immorality for sale, you know. Stay free of immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God. People say, I wish to know the will of God. Here it is. Even your sanctification, you're becoming holy, that you should abstain from fornication. Fornication is that broad word, all kinds of immorality. 1 Peter 4:2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. This is the goal. Let's just settle it. There's no room for immorality in the Christian's life. If you're excusing it, it's wrong, and you should know it's wrong. You should do whatever it takes to remove yourself from it. 10 o'clock. Recognize that your future is in the hands of God. This was part of that blessing of being with Brother Porter, when, for all human understanding, this is how he will live and die. But recognize that your future is in the hands of God and be okay with that. Romans 1:10, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. The Tunises are leaving soon on a vacation time, if God wills. And how well we know that something can change at any moment, and this car won't work, or that thing breaks at home, and we have to stay and do this and do that. And we say, well, it was not what we planned, but it was evidently the will of God. And we're okay with that. Romans 15:32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Do you recognize that you may make your plans, but nothing will compete with the will of God, with what God wants? And sometimes he makes that known by breaking the bridge, you know, or some other thing. At 11 o'clock, the day is nearly gone, give thanks for everything. Everything sounds too dismissive. Everything emphasizes whatever that thing may be. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you can't give thanks, you're resisting the will of God. Something that God has allowed to happen in your life, and you can thank God for it. I've read the remarkable story of people. This one young person had to spend most of their life in bed. And from time to time, they'd rally their strength and get up and walk to the window and see the other children out there playing. One time, somebody came into the room and said, oh, does it make you angry that you can't be there? Oh, no. I'm happy they can be happy. But I'm thankful that God gave me the ability to think and read, to be alive. See, this is when we get it. When this was not something that he chose happened to him, but he can thank God for what he has. Don't be, Brother Jeb Porter used to say, don't be so angry that you have that pain in your leg that you forget to be thankful you have a leg. Here it is, midnight. Submit to suffering as a Christian. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You go to jail for a crime, don't expect a pat on the back that you're taking it so well, you see. But if you go to jail for not going to the excessive lengths of unbelief, if you go to jail for saying that certain things are right or certain things are wrong because God says so, you kind of wear it as a badge of courage. 1 Peter 4:19, "For let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." Thank God for life, for the health you have, for the family he's given you. Submit that, because that's what God has wanted. It's what God has given. Don't rebel against his choice for you. Well, we've been all day at this, at least 12 hours. And the question is, at the end of the day, how do you find yourself? Are you fighting against the will of God? Or are you willing to bow down and say, "My life has been given to me by you, and I will allow it to be controlled by you"? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come to you then understanding that the best thing we can do is to forget our plans and our ambitions, if necessary, and to obey your will for us. Now, Father, if while obeying your will, you advance us, you put us in a higher tax bracket or whatever, then we'll take that as from you and be glad. But if you spare us the higher tax bracket, we'll be thankful to you and bow to you, your will being done. Father, there are certain things, being thankful and turning away from fornication, that you expressly say our actions according to your will. Father, perhaps we should begin there. Begin to say we will do your will first and turn against our will, our lust, our desires. But Father, all the rest of these, all 12 of them, are things that we ought to be doing because we have sensed through the Word of God that this is your will, and therefore it is the law of our life. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying, "Pastor, I have to say that in many ways I have thought first of what my will is, not God's. I have not approached the activities of my life saying, what would God want? How would God be pleased?" Perhaps it's a matter of your health. Perhaps it's a matter of your income. Perhaps it's a matter of your advancing in a job situation. But I wonder if right now you would say, "I'm willing to turn it over to him and to say with Christ, not my will, but thine be done." If that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up and say, "Pray for me." Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Yes, yes. Father, then we thank you for showing us your will. We don't have to guess it. All of those who say we've been sent into this world without an instruction manual have forgotten that the manual of life instruction is the Word of God. We ask that you might help us to dig deeply, to read deeply, to study deeply, and to find out what your will is, what you want, knowing who you are. I thank you for each one that's been touched by this message concerning submission to the will of God. We ask that you might embolden them to, as Romans tells us, to test it, to try it out and see how well it works in our life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.